Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, welcome one, welcome all. We're still talking about the security situation in the country. Our guest is joining us as we look at the unfortunate incident that took the lives of Nigerian soldiers. And of course, 17 persons lost their lives in Delta State. We have issues surrounding that. But I will crave his indulgence to ask him for his thoughts. So ask for his thoughts on the situation in Kaduna State following, you know, the release or rescue of those school children and their officials there. We also will take his thoughts on that as well. And I'd like to introduce him in a minute. But before that, for those who want to be a part of the conversation as we look at the situation in Delta State, the Nigerian Army are going after the prime suspect. Last week, he was identified. And they're going after him. He put out a video, so it's not as if they don't know who he is. He has come out to say, yes, this is why we did what we did. And he put out a video with his full chest, as we say in Nigeria. We have some action right now on the way in, not just in Delta State, but in Bayelsa State. So permit me to quickly introduce our guests. And if you want to be a part of a conversation, feel free to call us on 0700-993-993-993. Our female line is 0201-465-7190, 0246-57190. The male line, it may be down if you call. So if it's not going through, please reach us on the female line. Nobody we get network, but we're just trying our best to make sure that hopefully it's back up. All right. Our guest this morning is an expert as far as security matters are concerned. He is Ambassador Dr. Ohidievie Owami N. Roy. He's a group CEO, August I Limited, which is a security HR sourcing and background check services company. He is the chairman of Chris Herm Ventures Limited. He's the chairman of Veterans Voice Magazine. He's a military veteran. All right. And he's a fellow of IIPS, a fellow of UBS, a CBMP, a fellow of ICMC, a fellow of the IDMSS, a fellow of IBMN, and a fellow of ISN. He has an MSc in International Relations, a PhD in Peace and Conflict, which is in view. He is a chartered mediator and conciliator of the ICMC. That's great. CPO Florida, MA, Masses USA, ATSUM Unilag, Maison, MISN, AMNRCS, and MLCIF, MIFMA, PFSO, that's when you talk about NIMASA / Maritime. So he's well-rounded. If you know what these things mean, you know that he's well-rounded. He's the National Secretary of the Retired Members of the Nigerian Armed Forces, REMENAF. If you never knew they existed, well, now you know. He is the ex-National Public Relations Officer of the Association of Licensed Private Security Practitioners of Nigeria. And he's a certified United Human Rights Consultant from the Institute of Diplomacy and Human Rights in the United States of America. Ambassador, it's good to have you on the program. You go show me road, sir. Make I get these things, too. I don't know how you did it, you know, but you did it. Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And it's a bigger pleasure for us to have you. It's 2 a.m. where you are in the United States of America. And we know that you've made a sacrifice to join us. But it's all for national development. So thank you very much for your
time. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Even though you retired from the military, you're still serving your country. By talking, by speaking, by giving your commentary, it's still service to the country. And I have interviewed you before, and always a pleasure to hear you. For those who are joining us, please call the numbers earlier advertised. We will not take your WhatsApp calls, okay, but we will take your WhatsApp messages and your comments on Facebook and Twitter as well. Ambassador, what are your thoughts on, just generally speaking, as a retired army officer? For yourself now, I want you to tell me what your view, right here in Nigeria, for what your view is on the attack that occurred in Delta State and Okoma community where the soldiers lost their lives. And also, when you're done, please tell me also the thoughts of the veterans who are in your association, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. I hope my audio is okay.
Yeah, perfect.
And I'm properly framed on my screen.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, let me first speak as a citizen, a Nigerian citizen living in Delta State. Okay. The first thing that we need to understand here is that Delta State and so many other Nigerian communities are already plagued by different kind of divides. Number one is economic constrictions, you know, because we're already aware that there are makeshift refineries in so many of all those places. We are so much aware also that there are Western influence in the oil and gas industry. We are also aware that we have community clashes from fishing reserves, fishing rights, land disputes, you know, and we are aware that we have, from the last 30 years now, we have a new catchment of Nigerians who are bigger than the law, greater than the security agencies, in form of hoodlums, thuggery, and all these boys that are generated, especially during elections period, to intimidate status quo. We are already aware. You know, so as a citizen of Delta, Bayelsa, River State, all of us that come from riverine area, you are not among any of these divides. You are going to be caught into the crossfire because you will not be protected and you will not be compensated. When military people die, we celebrate them. We compensate the family sometimes after they protest, or, you know, then we also try to make sure that they are shown to the world as heroes, you know. When the hoodlums die on their own side, whoever, if they have a godfather, make sure that they are also taken care of. But when the innocent Nigerians, media people like you that go in to find news, and so many other people that are just under their normal daily activity, when any of them dies, who is going to cry for that person? Who is going to cry for that Nigerian citizen that have been paying his dues as a citizen? So, as a military man, I swore to die for Nigeria, for Nigerians. Because if you look at the green, white, green, it's a cloak of protective measure for Nigerians. So, it's the gap that worries me. That is the value that is held globally, the life. The life of an American made the U.S. Army to come to the border between Nigeria and Niger, I think, just some few times behind. And they rescued one American that was kidnapped.
Yeah.
One. They put boots on ground personally, not using pseudo-military. They busted the skull of the kidnappers and took the American citizen away. Not a white, an American can be a black, you hold an American passport, you are protected by the Constitution, the power and the might of America. So we have Nigerians in Okuoma that are not among, if you say there are hoodlums, that are not among police, military, that are not among the ruling class. That is where I want Nigerians to put their prayer on, those people.
Now, if you go now to the military side, what will bring a catchment of military personnel, including a redneck colonel, into mediation and conflict resolution? What?
Peacekeeping. We had peacekeeping.
No. Let's be careful with words. Nigeria has abused so many words. We have plea bargain. We have de-radicalization. We have amnesty, reintegration. So many. We have rejigging the architecture of security. So many grammar we have used to insult ourselves. So let's not go there. Let's believe that they went for mediation, not peacekeeping. If you are going for peacekeeping, you will be assigned, and your peacekeeping measure will be to protect all and sundry. We went for peacekeeping in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, under the United Nations, under ECOMOG. We didn't take side. So why in your country will you be seen to take side? So if they went for peacekeeping, I don't want to discuss that because I don't have any documents to show that they were deployed for peacekeeping.
Okay, but you were making a point about the redneck colonel.
Good. Yeah, so if you see a catchment of soldier with a redneck officer, a colonel, in a mission into a community that transverse into riverine areas, waterways, I assure you that the Air Force supposed to be on standby, the Navy supposed to be on standby, because the Navy is supposed to give water backup. The Air Force supposed to give air coverage. If it is on a mediation mission, that colonel, sir, can send for the leaders of those communities to report to their base for the mediation discussion. They can find a neutral ground for the mediation. But my worry is this, sir. As a conflict mediator chartered in Nigeria under the Institute of Chartered Mediation and Conciliation, mediation is approved by the agreement of parties in dispute. The parties in dispute will agree to who and how the mediation process will follow. And the military is not an interface, a security agency interface with the community. It's not, sir. It's not.
Okay.
For oil and gas facilities, the Constitution has approved the NSCDC to handle government critical infrastructure. NSCDC.
Okay.
The NSCDC also supervises private security companies who are also dispersed nationwide.
Okay.
The police also have right to receive petitions from people whose human rights has been infringed upon. So if I kill your brother, or you kill my cow, or I kill your sister, or I burn your farm, or I rape your women, or I kidnap your kinsmen, those are rights infringements.
Okay.
I am supposed to write a petition to the police. Sir, if it is beyond the DPO, he goes to his area commander. If it is beyond the area commander, it goes up, cascades up, until it gets to the IG.
All right.
The IG will mandate a senior team from Abuja to support the DPO to intervene in that matter. It is a police matter.
Okay. You were talking about an institution when you mentioned them, before I asked, interjected, when you talked about a redneck Cornell. Is this something you remember you wanted to make a point about an institution?
The institution of chartered mediators?
Okay. Let maybe you, we'll come back to that point. So what about the point being made? The information we have is that an initial team of soldiers went to the community to have a meeting with a view to catching the culprits from Okwama, who probably embarked on a revenge killing following the killing of their own sons, you know, who were on the speedboat. And then while they were there, they maybe tried to take some of the people away, maybe the chiefs or something. The youth said no. And then they seized their weapons and all that. Such a rescue mission, you know, when the men of a Colonel's men are held captive by civilian in a hostage situation, can that redneck Colonel, like you put it, can he now lead a team, including two or three major senior officers, to go rescue his men?
I don't believe that a rescue situation can get into an ambush. Do you know why? A rescue situation has already calculated the risk parameters. A rescue situation, if I invite you, a journalist, Nigeria Info, come and cover this event, and your personnel that went there, they told you their cameras were seized, their mic was seized, one of the cameraman was, let's not even use kidnap, was abducted and seized also.
Like what happened in Edo State.
If you now becomes another team and they are sending you to that place, are you not going to go prepared against counter reactions?
Okay.
Every military goes according to the risk that it is envisaging. If they are going there to rescue that colonel or whoever was held down by a military, they will not go in the bid to discuss peace. They will not, sir. So I don't agree with so many of the stories that are flying. My understanding of what happened is this. I have served in peacekeeping operations.
Okay.
I have also served in internal conflict intervention, because I use the word intervention, not mediation, you know. And I believe that there are things that are beyond land disputes and all. I receive my own sensibility to agree that there are influences of people that are trying to use the military to intimidate others. Every Nigerian understands this.
Okay.
And that intimidation was resisted. And that is where the violence came to.
All right. That's an interesting way to land. Ambassador Roy, please stay with us. We want to go for our next set of commercials. We'll be back because I'm sure Lagosians, the entire Lagos is listening to us this morning. Almost the whole Lagos MEC, yeah. But you know what I mean. And our listeners will have one or two questions to ask you. Also, for those who, you know, listening from outside of Lagos, I'm sure they also want to ask you one or two questions as well. So please stay with us. We'll pay our bills, and when we return, we continue our conversation with Ambassador Oami and Roy Ohiriavie. He is a security expert and a former Nigerian soldier. Stay with us.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. It's still the Morning Crossfire. Our guest this morning is already has taught us a lot. And as a former military officer, he still has his views, and I think we can see they are balanced, really. For all of you who've been saying, you bring a retired military personnel here on the show, they will just be one-sided. No, you can see that he's given a balanced view of things, all in the interest of Nigeria. Dr. Ambassador Dr. Oami and Roy Ohiriavie, is the National Secretary of the Retired Members of the Nigerian Armed Forces, a former National PRO of the Association of Licensed Private Security Practitioners of Nigeria. He served in the Nigerian Army Combat Engineers for close to 15 years. I hope I got that right. So if I missed it, please tell me if I'm wrong. Close to 15 years. With Corps Army Special Forces deployment, combat training, and experience before his voluntary retirement. So you're not in the office, you're on the battlefield. You're on the battlefield. He's worked for several security organizations in management level. His professional activities can be said to cut across all security disciplines, maritime, hospitality, construction industries, etc. After his experiences in paid employment, he co-founded the August Eye Group Limited and solely owns Chris Hem Ventures Limited, a facility management company. You were in combat. You know, you talked about your time in Sierra Leone peacekeeping and all that. Ambassador, is the Nigerian army of today different from that of your days? And if yes, how so? How different is it?
Well, it's a pity that we have to discuss this, but I want to assure you and my former community, the military, that the discussion will only tailor on things that Nigeria needs to know. One thing is sure is that the current motivation level, disposition of every Nigerian military is tilted towards the disappointment of the veterans. Do you know why? Every soldier you see today, majority of them come from the barracks. Majority. Even President Obasanjo, his one of his sons is a serving general in the Nigerian Army Combat Engineers, my former unit. You know? And this team that just died, you had that two brothers were there. You know? And the boy making that video, whether until he's caught, before we will know if he's the ringleader or if he's just one of those that... But he mentioned that he's a son of a retired captain.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, this our country, our country abused the highest level of citizens with servitude nature. For anybody to wear the khaki, carry the gun, and go and die for this country is one of the highest level of servitude. That's why in America and different countries, even you will see thank you for your service everywhere. Everywhere. Even on job applications, you will see, they will ask, are you a veteran?
Yeah.
If you go to buy a house, they will put a catch. If you are a veteran, you have this discount.
Wow.
If your children are going to school, you will see, are you a child of a veteran? In my children's school list, you will see it there. Wow. Are you a child of a veteran?
Wow.
Because they know what it takes. So our current military today, sir, it is basically purely, how do I survive when I leave this uniform? So you have seen many generals facing court-martial now for millions and millions of naira diverted, especially for procurement of weapons that other soldiers will use. You have seen many abandonments. Soldiers pull their khaki, drop the gun, mate, they no do again. You have seen where soldiers refuse order, and they are court-martialed and dismissed. So the intricacies are too volatile to understand. One of them that people already know is the discrepancies, tribal and religious discrepancies. Those days, a Muslim soldier, a Christian soldier, Hausa soldier, Igbo soldier, we sit inside one truck with one gun, and then we die together or come back together. I'm telling you, we don't think whether you speak any language.
Mm-hmm.
You put on that uniform, let's go, guys, let's go, let's go. We'll obey the last order. So our current military today, they are looking outside of the window. What is going to happen to me when I leave this job? Now, those that got bullet injuries and were retired from the army, they are now veterans. My brother, do you know we are fighting for them because they put them on medically onboarded and they got a lot of money out of their normal due? Somebody that got injured from active service, you are paying him less than you're supposed to pay him. He's now fighting for his money.
Wow.
Those that even came out with some medical crisis, like my eyes, I lost my right eye in the military. Till today, I buy my drugs by myself. Lifeback Pharmacy in Nigeria sent my eye drops to me in America. I don't know how to thank that man, the pharmacist there, Mr. Tony. He sent the drugs, the eye drops to me here. Because I stay in military hospital at times, when I go for treatment, I will stay by the pharmacy. They will write 5 eye drops for you. They will have only 1. And they will show you where to go and buy the remaining 4 inside the same military facility. And when I get there, we see old men with their prescription in their hand. When they see the amount, their hand will be shaking like this. I have to pay for them. So that I spend like 100K or 200K there before I leave, just to rescue some of my fellow veterans. So if you are a soldier, sir, will you have that 100% sacrificial spirit that we had those days when we were using mestin to take food? We were queuing up to take food. Most of us don't cook. In the barrack, there is a kitchen where you go with your mess pan and you are giving food. The first time I went to Calabar, we came back and I had this hepatitis. And I went to the hospital in Ikeja Cantonment, and they told me to go and buy 80% of the drugs that were prescribed. Salary that time was around 3,000 to 5,000 naira. And the drugs were about 1,000 something that time. That was the first week I sat down and I said, I must retire from this job. The day we went for airborne jump, airborne paratrooper, I didn't have a good boot. I went to the market to go and buy boots that I will wear to do army airborne jump, to jump from plane. I started to take a thought also that I need to leave this job. So if you ask me, what is the current motivation, sacrificial nature, ready to die patriotism of the Nigerian soldier today, I will ask you, what do you see happening to the military veterans that are supposed to be example of those that are serving?
Sir, you've said a lot. I don't know what else to say. Little did I know this is what you're going through every time you come on to talk to us. And all we can say as Nigerians is to you and your colleagues, thank you for your service. And I hope that going forward things will be better. But Nigerians, you heard it. You heard it from the men themselves. They don't speak up all the time, but this is a period of time when these things can come up. Because we're asking, why are these gentlemen involved in probably taking sides in this conflict in Delta State? Well, he's told you why. 99.3, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Kofi.
Welcome. Your name and contribution, please. Question or contribution, please.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. I hope you're well too. Please
okay, Kofi, I greet your guest in the studio. He has done a very good job, if I must say. You see, since these armies were killed, I totally condemn the killing of our soldiers. But I sincerely believe that the truth has not been told. So your guest carefully analyzed the truth. Unless they let us know the truth, because the villagers, they cannot just ambush the armies. No, Nigeria is a place where the poor are being neglected. So one top influential man must have ordered the military to come. Until they let us know the truth behind this killing, then solution will begin to come out. I encourage your guest.
All right, thank you.
And I admire him. And I tell him all he sacrificed for this country, his children will stand to reap it. God will stand in the gap for our armies.
Amen.
Our soldiers.
Amen.
That are fighting for this country. Keep doing the good job, sir. God bless you for this analysis. You're simply the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much for your time. We have another listener on the line, 99.3. Good morning.
Hello, Kofi Bashir.
Good morning. Welcome. Your name and contribution, please.
Good morning. Emeka is my name from Satellite Town. And I want to say good morning to your esteemed guest today in the studio. Thank you so much for the in-depth analysis on this crisis, because there's been so many stories being bandied around as to the reason behind these gruesome killing of our gallant officers. And I'm coming from a family of military officers as well and lawyers. We've analyzed this story and it just doesn't make sense, except what you have diagonalized now, the way you've put it in a very balanced scale for the interest of national progress and unity. But my question is this. We see movies today being produced by movie producers using panoramic view, using the drones for high panoramic view. In view of the kind of mission that we're about undertaking in that area, whether rescue mission or peace mission, whatever be the case, why is that the army is yet to deploy technology in the use of their mission, in going for their missions? I mean, if they had deployed drones to assess the risk ahead,
okay,
probably may I be able to see dangers that lie ahead, more so when a redneck is involved. How come we are yet to deploy technology? And second question, quickly, is what do you think can be done to restore that motivation that people like you had in the past, that professionalism in the military,
right,
that our gallant men will never fall into the hands of these murderous terrorists? Thank you.
Emeka, thank you very much. All right, Ambassador Roy, please.
Okay. He first talked about technology. Let me first say about the inevitability. Now, in the first instance, technology is procured and deployed as at when effective. It's just like you now using a phone that is not a smartphone. Definitely you will be caught up. Somebody asks you, do you have a phone? Yes, I have a phone. But they will not ask you if you have WhatsApp or internet savvy or Intel. You know, even if you have an iPhone now, I got to US and my kids had to, Dad, you need to upgrade. Okay, you need to upgrade. I had to buy another iPhone.
Oh.
You understand? So, technology in security deterrence, information gathering, surveillance skills and surveillance capabilities must be conversant with the dynamics of change. Let me take you back to a old case, Evans the Kidnapper.
Okay.
Evans the Kidnapper.
Yeah.
Evans the Kidnapper, they said, had a phone that cannot be tracked. He knew that police used to track phones. So he bought a phone that they cannot track. So whatever tracking device the police had does not have the capability to track that phone that Evans had. So our current day military, they have procured drones. Sir, those drones that they procured and being deployed, they made a lot of noise about it. It's supposed to be a stealth, S-T-E-L-L-T-H. Supposed to be a stealth activity.
Okay.
Quiet, effective, and dangerous. But we make a lot of noise. Even for a small battalion to move from point A to point B, you will hear that the chief of defense staff said, we are deploying a battalion. Hello.
technology and intervention in security is a surprise.
All right, Ambassador, very quickly, because of time, how do we restore this motivation? The second question that the caller asked.
How do we do what?
Restore the motivation for this time like it was in your time.
One of the things that we need to do is what I have started to do already. That's why I created the Veteran Voice magazine. And that's why I honor media when they call us like this. Because there must be a balanced understanding in the minds of every aggrieved Nigerians. Nigerians are aggrieved. Do you remember the toll gate issue?
Yes.
It is not even the police, the people are blaming now. They said military came there and killed men, which they are still going back and forth to prove to tomorrow. The military and the people, not the police. So one thing that the military must begin to do right now is to remove itself from internal conflicts. Remove itself. Let the police go and deal with all those university cult boys, Yahoo boys, whatever. The second thing that the military needs to do now is to show the people that it is there for them. How do you do that? You resist getting involved in criminal activities, especially in deployment areas. If you cannot resist, you resign. I have been tempted many times when I was staying in Badagry as a soldier in Topo Barracks, and I was working in Dodan Barrack. You will follow public transport, and those bus drivers want you to protect them against custom for the rice and everything they are carrying, and they will give you money. We need to resist all those things, so that the people will now see you in your area of deployment, Niger Delta, Northeast, anywhere there is economic activity. Don't get involved. Number two, don't get used. You remember Wadume case, where soldiers and police got in conflict and killed themselves. So don't get used by politicians or criminal elements or illicit acquired wealth by Nigerians to intimidate other Nigerians. Don't get used. If you get to that point, involve the DSS and the police and withdraw. We must be seen as the last line of defense and the most radical protective measure for every Nigerian that bears the Nigerian passport and name.
All right, interesting. I hope those soldiers at Mile 2 are listening. But anyway, I want to read a message here or two. Okay, this one here reads, good morning, I'm from Delta State. It says, your guests have said it all. The military were resisted. It says, let's say the way it is, and it'll keep happening over and over. Better we die than see it straight. Okay, sorry. Tara Moe from Otunana. I'll talk to you some more after now. We have a very long message here. Barnabas Subai and Bariga. It's very long. It says, good morning to your guest, the ambassador. My question is, since this your guest implied in his submission, we don't have time for questions. We're actually out of time. Okay, but maybe I'll forward your question to him afterwards. Ambassador, sir, we want to have you here again from time to time as you contribute to national development. And we know that your labor is never in vain, and you're still serving the country by what you say. So thank you very much for your time. Dr. Ambassador Dr. Owami and Roy Ohidievie, National Secretary, Tribe Members of the Nigerian Forces, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, fantastic. Congrats to the family. We'll go on a quick break. We'll be right back.